You clock out, we clock in. Welcome to the Torn by Sports Lunch Break.
Welcome to this episode of the Torn by Sports Lunch Break. I'm Grant Bagby from Torn by Sports. Joining me today is Tyson Alger from OregonLive.com or the Oregonian. You can follow him on Twitter at Tyson Alger. He is the Oregon Ducks basketball beat writer for the Oregonian. How are you doing today, Tyson?
Hey, not bad, Grant. I appreciate you bringing me on here. It's been a pretty fun Pac-12 season to cover so far, and we're just getting ready to head down to the arena for some previews for the Colorado-Utah series, which it's kind of shaping up to be one of the, I think, better weekends of Pac-12 basketball this year.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about, it must be a ton of fun covering the Ducks right now that it looks like they're in control, are in a position to control the Pac-12. I mean, how are things up in Eugene, and how do you see the Ducks doing right now?
It's been a really interesting year because, especially at the start of the year, there was kind of a lot of questions surrounding the team. Not as many as there were last year when there was only three scholarship players coming back, but they ended up having a pretty decent season last year, pretty much riding the back of Joseph Young, who ended up winning Pac-12 Player of the Year and is now with the Indiana Pacers. And so they had a really nice core coming back this year, but the question was, can they win without that absolutely dynamic scorer that Young was last year? And so, and pretty much the answer has been yes. They've had a really nice improvement from players like Dylan Brooks, Elgin Cook, and a very, very solid, complementary score, but then some new additions such as freshman Tyler Dorsey, and probably the biggest addition in the conference this year, to my mind, has been the transfer of a junior college player of the year, Chris Boucher, who's a 6'11" guy who's sticks thin, but can block, rebound, and score just about as well as anybody else in the conference. So those guys have really kind of propelled Oregon into a position where I would say at the halfway point, especially after winning at Utah and at Arizona, I would say the conference is Oregon's blues right now. They're sitting in sole position of first place. They got a 2-game lead over teams like Arizona. I believe it's 1 game over Utah. And so they got a firm grasp on it right now as we're getting ready for these pair of home games here in Eugene.
Yeah, no, I was talking to Danny Moran, the Oregon State beat writer, the other day, and it seems like for Oregon, Utah, Oregon State, this weekend could be huge for any of the teams if they can find a way to win. It would really put, like you said, Oregon in control of the Pac-12, and, if Utah were finding a way to beat Oregon, it would allow them to really have a shot at still winning the conference after what was a horrendous start to the conference play. Going to focus more on Pac-12 basketball for the time being, right now I've seen projections of anywhere from 8 to 9 teams from the Pac-12 in the tournament. I know you're an AP 25 voter, so I'm curious to hear your opinion on how many teams do you think will make the tourney, and where would you put them?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. And, it's kind of the age-old kind of adage of, is the conference better because everyone is close, or is it a down year for the conference? And I think, you kind of get a mixed bag from people outside perspective on it. I forget who it was recently, but it was one of the national writers that tweeted that, the parity in the Pac-12 just means that the conference is no good this year. And I would strongly object to that. I think there are a bunch of good teams. I don't think there's quite that one elite team like maybe Arizona has been in the past, but I think Oregon is showing a lot of potential right now. So, it wouldn't surprise me if you're able to get 8 or 9 teams in there, and I think the conference deserves it just because if you look at the out-of-conference record during non-conference part of the season, the Pac-12 was great. They're number 2 in RPI. So teams like Oregon, Utah, Arizona are definitely shoe-ins. Then is putting together a heck of a resume right now, unexpectedly. So is USC. So is Colorado. And some of the teams that you maybe thought were going to be there early in the year are kind of tailing off a bit, though. Like, you know, UCLA is not having a great conference schedule or conference right now after playing pretty darn good out of conference. So I think they're going to be a bubble team. Oregon State has kind of played themselves recently out of contention, but, you know, if they put together three or four good wins here in a row, they could be back in the discussion. And I'm sure I'm forgetting a team here, too, but there's just a lot of really solid teams in the Pac-12, and, you know, some of these teams are going to end up having multiple conference losses on their resume, and I don't think that's any indication that there's a weakness in those teams. I just think there's a lot of parity this year.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with you. It's clearly a strong conference with a lot of parity. I mean, from a Utah perspective, I find it interesting. I think you got NBA quality players kind of sprinkled across the league that have helped raise the quality of play and how good all the teams are. With that being said, though, something I find interesting, we're entering the second half of the Pac-12 conference play. The Ducks, however in control and clearly in the number one spot, how much of a concern is that they might start to run down as the season progresses with the lack of depth that Oregon has?
Yeah, I honestly think that's going to be the only thing that keeps them from winning the conference title this year, if that ends up being a factor, just because, you know, their seven deep rotation is probably as good or better than anybody else's in the conference, but they just don't have very many options if guys are starting to get in foul trouble or even worse, if they happen to get another injury, this team is done just because there's no other there at other positions. I mean, their starting five is great, and then having Benjamin and Bell come off the bench is solid too. But then after that, you know, they only have one other kind of prototypical guard option in Kendall Small, and he's had a very, very up and down freshman season so far. He's shown really great ability to get to the basket and shoot, but he's turnover prone and foul prone. And, you know, big man wise, Jordan Bell is really the only sizable guy coming off the bench as well. So that's just going to be the thing, is whether or not this team can hold up for a full season without suffering another injury or, you know, just having guys get tired. I will say though, last year's team, which had a good amount of this core, they really kind of found their stride after they were blown out at Arizona. It was kind of an embarrassing loss for them. It was kind of a kick in their face, and they said from that game they kind of peaked. You know, it was kind of like the win now or don't win at all sort of thing. And I was asking this question earlier this year. It's like, okay, you guys are playing really well right now. Are you guys going to be able to sustain this sort of thing? And all of them kind of point back to their Pac-12 opening loss this year at Oregon State, where they were much kicked in the dirt Beavers, and they said that was kind of our Arizona game this year. So they're all pretty confident they can sustain it, but there's a ton of basketball left to be played, and you know, crazy things can happen. So I would say Oregon's still the favorite to win the conference as of now, but a lot of stuff can happen.
All right, now we've talked about Oregon's depth. And one of the things that does impress me the most about Oregon is I'm looking at the stats, just conference per game stats, and I see, you know, four guys averaging double digits in points, a ton of guys spreading the rebounds, averaging 3 to 6 rebounds, and then a lot of guys averaging, you know, a couple assists a night. It just seems like the whole Oregon attack is a team effort. Is there any way to really slow down Oregon?
Yeah, that's a pretty much the story of the season, especially when you compare it to last season. Last year, if you wanted to beat the Ducks, you had to stop Joe Young, and that was pretty much the formula. And honestly, a lot of teams had trouble doing that because he was such a good player in this conference. Now this year, like you just mentioned, there's at least four good scoring options. Everyone's pretty solid on the boards. They all play great defense. And the thing is, you know, you'll have Dylan Brooks go off for 24 points one night, and then he could be limited to 10 the next day. But then, you know, like you saw against Arizona State, all of a sudden Chris Boucher goes for 26. Dwayne Benjamin, who can literally score 0 points one night, is a threat to go off for 20. You know, I think that's their biggest strength right now. It's just like how balanced they are. And even, even a player like Casey Benson, who's averaging about 8 points a game, he's been an incredible presence just in terms of he doesn't ever turn. I believe he's leading the conference. The nation in assist to turnover ratio. He does because of him, the Ducks don't make a ton of careless errors, and he does a really good job of kind of facilitating the hot hand. You know, it makes a player like Elgin Cook, who has been one of Oregon's, you know, best secondary options the last two seasons, it makes him into a very solid secondary option again this year when a lot of people thought that he might be their primary scorer. He's a guy who can score 12, 13, 14 a night. If they really need him to, he can go for 20, but he's done a really good job of kind of accepting his role and facilitating to the hot hand. So this is a really hard team to game plan for because there's not really one set player that you can pick and say, this is the guy that we got to shut down. I mean, lately it may be more Brooks because he's just been on an incredible stretch lately. I think he's really kind of played himself over the last, you know, 3 weeks or so into the Pac-12 Player of the Year conversations. But yeah, it's just a very balanced team that's kind of hard to pick apart.
Yeah, I mean, and speaking to what you're saying is Benson right now has a, you know, 3.4 assists to 0.6 turnover ratio. I mean, that is just unheard of, really. It's insane. Would you say that maybe a way to stop them would be to try to create some turnovers off of Benson, make him force him into some bad choices?
Yeah, I think when Oregon has lost this year, it's been because they kind of get out of their comfort zone. They start kind of playing a little too frantically, and it's when they're turning the ball over, which, you know, all of their losses this year have been on the road. And if you watch any of those games, it's they're pressured early on. It takes them a while to get into their rhythm, and then they have to play catch-up the rest of the game, which sometimes they're okay at doing, but there's still a lot of young pieces on this team that aren't maybe perfectly suited for that sort of thing. So the best way to play them is to, the best thing you can do against Oregon is to try to get them into foul trouble. So if you're banging down low and you're able to get some fouls off of Oregon, that's the best way. But then the other best way, kind of like you said, is to, you know, try to force them into some turnovers and kind of get them playing a little ahead of themselves, because they're a little bit prone to do that. They're a very momentum-based team.
All right, well, last time Oregon and Utah played here in Salt Lake, it was not pretty for Utah. What do you expect, if anything, to be different this game, and who do you expect to win?
Well, if you watch that game, that wasn't a very pretty game overall, if I remember right. I think that was an awfully ugly first half for both teams. You know, Utah has probably, outside of Oregon since that game, I think Utah's played some of the best basketball in the country. You could maybe say country, but I was going to say the conference. They've been playing very, very well. You know, I think they match up well against the Ducks. The thing is, though, is Oregon's a very tough team to play at home. You know, I think Oregon's going to win this one, but I think it's going to be much closer than what we saw in Utah a couple weeks ago.
All right. Well, let's hope for at least a much more entertaining game this weekend, and hopefully it'll be, yeah, you know, and personally, as a basketball fan, I want a good, close, entertaining game. It'll be interesting to see how Utah recovers after last time they played. I mean, they've been on quite a tear since then. But hey, you know, Tyson, thanks for coming on. I appreciate your time and some look into the Ducks so that Utah fans can have a more in-depth look at what to expect when the Utes and the Ducks meet this coming weekend.
Yeah, of course. It should be a fun game this weekend. And, you know, it's kind of one of those things this year where I think just about every weekend is looking like it's going to be fun. So I appreciate you having me on. And, it's a good year.
Yeah, it's a great year for Pac-12 hoops, and you have a good one.
This has been a Torn Life Sports production.